You're listening to Beyond the Fourth Wall, an audio look at the visual arts in Denton, Texas, the home of happiness. Beyond the Fourth Wall streams live almost every week, high atop the historic campus theater in beautiful downtown Denton. Podcasts of episodes can be found right here on DentonRadio.com and on iTunes. I'm your host, Damon Wadico, and next to me is the best-dressed man in Denton, Mr. Mike Vero.
Hello. Hello, everybody. How are you, Damon?
I see you've got your finest Christmas frock on today.
I do. I'm feeling a little bit like Saint Nick of old.
You're certainly a jolly elf.
Always.
So we have some things going on at Denton Community Theater. First off, we've had some horrible weather, so we've had some changes in the schedule.
We have. The children's production at the Black Box, at the Point Bank Black Box Theater, the Kids' Christmas at the Black Box, and / Littlest Angel. I tell you, I've got to say, before I give you these new dates, these kids, Mildred Pivotow, the parents, the volunteers, a true spirit of community theater.
Mildred Pivotow is the director.
The director, and Karen Gossett is also helping direct the show. Everybody has been so cooperative. We have now moved the dates. This would be the third time that we have moved the dates, and officially the kids' show will be on the Sunday the 15th, Monday the 16th, mm-hmm. and Tuesday the 17th, all shows starting at 6:30 at the Black Box Theater, the Point Bank Black Box. We are asking that ticket holders, if you have already bought tickets for this show, that you contact the box office if possible. Let us know which evening you might prefer to come to. Also, if you do not have your tickets to the show yet, we will be selling tickets, but they will not go on sale until about 10 minutes before the show starts, so that we make sure that we can accommodate all of the folks that have bought tickets to the other shows.
Anybody who might be listening outside of Texas, we've been having unseasonably cool weather. I've never seen ice last this long in this state, as long as I've lived here. This is crazy. You know, Johnny Williams, who we had as a guest, His car got stuck in the space across the street. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's been crazy weather.
That's been the hardest thing for everybody, is not navigating the streets. It's just getting out of your driveway to get on the streets.
And, you know, I was talking to you about a frock. You know, you're a man of fashion. Tell me, what is your finest Christmas frock? I'm going to be working at the Black Box Tuesday at the kids' show, and I got a message from Mildred to be sure to be wearing my finest Christmas frock. I have no idea what she's talking about.
Well, Mildred knows that every year my favorite and my finest Christmas frock, mm-hmm. is my silk Hawaiian Santa Claus shirt.
I don't think that's what she has in mind.
Well, it'll be a nice Christmas surprise then for Mildred.
So anybody that sees me there, I'll be in my finest Christmas frock, whatever that is. Say hello. Ongoing outreach things at the theater is our second Saturday seminar, which is December 14th at 1 p.m. That is this Saturday. And it's a volunteer orientation. So anybody out there that wants to know how to become involved with Denton Community Theater, that's a good place to start.
This is a great time for people to come to the theater that are just thinking about, you know, how do I do it? How do I get involved with the theater? And we get that phone call all the time here at the theater, and it's a great way to bring everybody together, let them have a little cross-section of all the things that we have for volunteer opportunities. So I would encourage anybody that is thinking about or has thought about getting involved with the theater to come out Saturday, because it'll be a lot of fun.
Exactly. And then, of course, here at the campus theater, the main stage is our big Christmas show, which is Miracle on 34th Street. And you got the dates for those?
Opens on the 13th.
Yes.
On Friday the 13th.
Lucky, lucky.
Absolutely. So we'll have Friday the 13th at 7:30, as well as Saturday the 14th. Then Sunday the 15th, we'll have our 2 o'clock matinee. Mm-hmm. We'll come back the next Friday, the 20th, at 7:30. The 21st, Saturday at 7:30. And Sunday, we will close the show, as well as the year for Denton Community Theater. Not the season, but fiscal year, the physical year, excuse me, for Denton Community Theater at 2:00 on Sunday.
And our guest today is Mr. John Everts, who is, hello, sir, one of the directors, co-directors of that show.
Yes.
And how's it going?
It's going well.
So tell the folks a little bit, what's the show about? For those, with no spoilers, and for those who don't know the story.
Well, I will try not to spoil the story for you, but it's only fair to say the reason that this play exists, it goes back to a film. The original film was 1947. Mm-hmm. The film was based on a story written by Valentine Davies, who sold it to George Seton at 20th Century Fox. The original film is a classic. It was remade in the 80s, not one of my favorites. And I truly suspect that a good number of the people that come see the show will probably already be familiar with the movie.
Right.
But it's a great piece because it puts Santa Claus front and center and lets everybody deal with this issue of is there a Santa? Is he real? And what does that actually mean?
As far as I'm concerned, he is.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want my mother to make sure I still believe in Santa Claus.
So Mom still provides the goodies there. Yes, absolutely.
As long as I can keep that going.
it's actually not an empty question. You know, the as I have gotten older, and I'm not going to go into my age right now, but the older I get, I really have discovered there's a great difference between fact and truth. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of facts out there, but they don't always tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth might not necessarily be mistaken as being factual. But whether there is a Santa Claus in the factual sense does not mean that there aren't people that go out of their way to see that children get gifts or to see that someone gets that extra fruit basket or the pat on the back or the chance to maybe look up at the sun a little bit instead of grinding away at the wheel every day at work. And that's a magical thing.
Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, but whether there's a Santa Claus or not, of course, depends on us and how we react with our fellow men and women and care for each other. You know, that's the thing they talk about Christmas. They're sure to say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, that's something that starts with each of us. And it's a fascinating story because it centers about a man who thinks he's Santa Claus. Completely convinced he's Santa Claus, and he becomes a Santa Claus at Macy's, mm-hmm. and spreads the good news and actually sends customers to other stores if they're looking for something that Macy's doesn't have, and it turns people around. People start looking out for each other, and then he gets put on trial for sanity because he thinks he's Santa Claus.
Huh.
I won't go any further than that, but it's a lot of fun. It's a truly enchanting story.
Now, I've seen the classic film, and we were talking about it a little bit last week when we had your co-director, mm-hmm. Mary Gale, here. I never saw the one made in the 80s or 90s, the remake. I've seen the original, which had a young Natalie Wood, I think.
A very young Natalie Wood, yes.
But do you recall they did a made-for-TV version in the 70s that starred Sebastian Cabot as Santa Claus?
I have not seen that, but there have actually, I believe, been two or three television versions.
Oh, there probably has.
Some of them live, of course, you know, because, you know, when television was live in the 50s, there were a number of things that were shown and gone and not really preserved on tape. It's a fun thing. The difficulty, of course, I don't know if Mary Gale talked about this, but it is a movie. And when you're on stage, you're suddenly dealing with a situation that requires 11 different settings. And if you've ever worked on a show and work with scenery and know the mechanics of getting things on and off the stage, it turns it into a musical. there is some singing in the show, but it's not a musical. And yet, directing this it's like directing a musical.
Just as complicated.
It's all about traffic control and getting people on and off and making sure you get the right effect with the audience without having to move too many things on stage and extending too much of your resources for this setting or that setting.
Well, going back to your co-director, Mary Gale, this is her first show to direct here. You've directed several.
Oh, yes.
So you're not only the role of co-director, but a little bit of mentor here as well, I think.
Yes, it's...
How's it going?
It's going fine. Good. I think I'm hoping that she's learning a lot from it. This would not be my first show to put upon anybody, just because it is like doing a musical. It's extremely complicated.
Exactly.
Deals a lot with logistics, deals a lot with what you're going to do to make things happen on the stage. It's a bit overwhelming when you're the director and you like to keep your finger on the pulse of things and make sure everything's falling into place. I'm sure there are many things that Mary Gale hasn't even really been aware of, just because until you're right in the middle of it, you never see what's coming down all around you sometimes.
Oh, that's for sure with almost any show. Wow. So besides directing, you also serve on boards at the theater. You're very involved here at DCT. I've had you on the list to interview for a while because even though I know you, I don't think you and I have ever worked on stage together. I mean, we've done shows. But
one time.
What was that?
It was Dennis was directing Inherit the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought me in at the last minute it was a That's couple right. bit parts as a witness. He wanted somebody that would do the shtick actor. And I was one of them Tennessee jurymen.
Gotcha. I do recall that now. Wow, that's a great memory. You act, and I think you're a great actor. I've seen you in Fiddler on the Roof. You played the Ghost Father in Proof, and most recently in you also the father in Pygmalion.
Oh yes,
great dialect there. Can you do a little bit of that?
Let's see. When I was doing Pygmalion, it's a guttural Cockney accent, and it's very hard to understand when somebody's trying to make sense of what you're saying. That sort of thing, yes.
Thank you, Governor.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, most recently in August Osage, which, what a great play.
Amazing play.
I mean, everybody was great and cast perfectly, and I just really love that play.
It was a great experience to do something of that caliber. I mean, there's no question why it is a Pulitzer Prize winning play. And it's an emotionally challenging play. It was really, actually, I was not sure I wanted to audition for it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of issues, I'm sure, for many people that have seen it or been in it, hit very close to home. This is a home where there is, I would say, a fair amount of psychological abuse.
And dysfunctionality.
Dysfunctionality,
right?
game playing. Mm-hmm. And those of us who have any amount of that in our background, just to put yourself in a pressure cooker and perform in that play where people are saying terrible things to each other. These people have no manners.
No.
And say exactly what they think. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing we don't do that in real life.
But I don't know. Some of us do, I think.
Yeah. But I had to think about that one before I could. I had to make sure I was going to be okay with it. Because it's an emotionally, not just challenging to do the acting, but it's a bit of abuse to handle to go through a performance of that.
Oh, I'll bet. But now in retrospect, you're glad you did it.
Oh, absolutely. It was great. It was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of it. I'm very proud that DCT did this because it is a piece of great theater and something that you would hope more people would experience and realize that there's more to theatrics than just movies and television.
Right.
To really be in a theater and experience something that's been crafted so carefully by somebody that knows how to use language mm-hmm. and knows how to bring it off that way. In fact, it was a very interesting first read-through because the first read-through, it really kind of blew everybody away. The script was so well written
right.
that anybody with any basic acting ability or just instinct to go with the line, you say those lines and they take care of themselves. The emotion's there just by committing yourself to the language the author put on the page.
Exactly. So the audition process for a director, I would think that would be one of the roughest parts of directing. I have never directed a show. I'm terrified.
Oh, you need to go through this experience.
No. I like to play in the theater. I come here is to relax, to play act. That's a lot of work directing, I think.
It is. It's gratifying. I do think after this show is over, I will simply be acting for another few years.
Mm-hmm.
But auditioning? I've always been amazed at auditions. I go into an audition, And it's like it's an act of God. Just the right people are there. Now, are they the best people that are there possible for those parts? No. But in our case, with Miracle on 34th Street, we had people turn up that were just right for those parts. And, you know, you kind of say there's a God out there looking out for you, because we did not have extra people turning up, and in fact had to call a few people to fill some of the parts.
Well, it's a busy time of year. Exactly. I can imagine filling the show up this time of year is always going to be a challenge.
Well, and asking somebody to give up the 2 weekends before Christmas, that's a big commitment.
You said it before we started, John, you said that the Christmas show brings out people to the theater to audition that might not ordinarily audition for a show here. And I think that's interesting. I love the Christmas show because to me it just screams community theater.
Oh, it's community in the best sense of the word.
And not only with our actors, but also with our audience, because we see such a diverse group that wants to come out and see a show like this. We saw the same thing with the last year's show. I'm trying to think of the name of it now.
It's a Wonderful Life.
and when we did Scrooge, and you know those it's one of my favorite shows that we do every year. The Christmas at the campus, just because of that, because we see so many new people, and it's so important to the theater, of course, to keep bringing in new people and not just on the stage but in the audience as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what I like about it. It does bring new people that we haven't seen on stage before, but it also gives people a chance who may have never been in a theater before to come out and see a Christmas show. And I was looking at some of the photos of the cast in the lobby downstairs, and there's a lot of familiar faces and certainly a lot of new faces, but yeah, Polly Maynard and Jaime Rodriguez, and I don't recognize the gentleman you got to play Santa Claus, but
Randy McCaslin.
And I know what part he's playing.
He's worked here a number of times. He's run the follow spot.
Okay.
He's been very involved with a lot of shows here, working on the technical end of things.
Ah, I see.
And it's a perfect part for him. I mean, beyond the fact that he looks like Santa Claus.
He certainly does.
It's one of the things I really like about the part is this is not a sugary, sweet, gooey Santa Claus.
Right.
This is a wise Santa Claus. This is a man who knows the world for what it is, and yet keeps a smile on his face and a warm regard in his heart, which is tough to do when you know the world. But, I mean, Randy's perfect for the part. He just was, and he showed up at auditions, and there he was. That's the marvelous thing about auditions.
Oh, my God, it's Santa Claus.
That's right. They just turn up, and there they are.
Going back, though, to the audition process, have you ever really agonized over two or even more people over one part? And
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even had regrets as far as the ones you chose?
Oh,
really?
Everybody makes mistakes.
Oh, sure. It's
and I won't say I've never made a mistake in casting, though not too many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Again, it's always amazing how the right people show up. And of course, we had people show up and they said, we wanted to do this role and only this role. And I don't have a problem with that. I've been in the same situation myself when I've auditioned.
Sure.
And they may not have gotten the part. No hard feelings. You know, that's the way these things are. Auditioning can be hard on your ego sometimes.
But, any of us that have auditioned for a part and did not get that part, we know that directors make mistakes sometimes.
That's right. But they also, you try, and of course, people, when you've directed enough shows, it's not just a question of, is this the right person individually or is this the right person individually? Mm-hmm. You've got to put together a group of people. And I've done a number of shows where you have a romantic couple, and how that couple works in casting really depends on the chemistry between two people,
right?
Not on just the talent of one individual or another. And just because a person is too tall or too short, yes, it can affect casting.
Right. Speaking of couples, your wife,
yes,
Nelda, is also very involved here at Den Community.
God bless her.
Amen to that.
I could not do the show without her, of course. She cares about me, and she wants to make sure that I'm happy with the costuming. And so that's why she does it, even though this is, actually a very busy time of year for her as well. She's a member of an a cappella female quartet called Noted Vocals.
Oh, okay.
And they do gigs at Christmas time. They get paid to sing at various parties and events and banquets and functions.
Right.
And so she's really hustling to get costumes done at the same time she's...
So she's your costume designer for this show?
For this show, while she's also booking gigs and rehearsing with the group and going off and singing here and there to pick up a little extra Christmas money.
Oh, man, that's quite a schedule. I did a Christmas show last year, and I don't think I'll do one again for a while. But besides acting and directing, you're also a composer and a writer, I believe.
I do, yes.
Yeah.
I enjoy writing, and I enjoy composing. I started as a music major.
I see.
But I'm not a great musician.
Mm.
But, you know, I think a lot of the great songwriters were not necessarily great musicians. But you hear the tune in your head, you want to put it down, and they kind of take care of themselves. And I'm very grateful to the Denton Community Theater and to Mildred Pivoteau and her children's program, because a couple summers there, they produced some musicals I wrote for them, specifically for them. And it was a bit of work, because once it was written, then there was all the rewriting to fit the kids that showed up to do the show. You want to make sure it's in the right key for them. Or in one case, I took a thing that was written for a trio and redid it as a duet, you know, just to make it work for the kids there. But that's a great experience. It really was a lot of fun.
So you working on any plays at the moment? Or
I have a few plays that I keep on my computer that I don't look at them very often. They're very personal.
Mm-hmm.
They're very painful.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of memories there that go back to family situations that I haven't mentioned this to a lot of people. Last October, my sister committed suicide. And so, but that's tied to a lot of these memories that I kind of, you know, keep in the drawer. And when enough time has passed, I'll open the drawer and go back to them. But I'm not going to try to stir them up while I'm sowing peace on earth, goodwill toward man on the stage right now.
It sounds like some Osage County territory, perhaps.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was very personally touchy to me.
So do you have a preference, either as a director or an actor? Do you prefer, and I ask this of everybody, do you like musicals, comedies, dramas, or does it really matter?
Oh, that's hard.
If somebody said you could only pick one of these genres to work in.
Well, that's a really interesting question.
I'm glad somebody thinks so.
As a director, I really am tired of doing musicals because they are about traffic control and they're very stressful. And you spend less time directing actors than you do trying to make sure the set piece rolls on this cue.
Right.
As an actor, I love doing shows where you can sing, but I also like doing straight plays. But I do have a preference, actually. This is a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the works of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Ah.
They wrote, they called them comic operas. They're operettas that were written around 1860, 1890. It's how I met my wife. My first directing gig, those that remember Stephen Farish and when he was directing the community chorus, and your mother was a costumer on that show.
Right.
I directed HMS Pinafore for them. I have always loved Gilbert and Sullivan since high school. By the time I started college, I was already familiar with all 14 of their works. And I had a really good run there with Music Theater of Denton when they were still the Denton Light Opera Company for several years. I got to do one every year and actually got the chance to explore some that aren't done that often. And they were a lot of fun. And I wish somebody would do Gilbert and Sullivan again.
It pops up.
You know, HMS Pinafore,
sure.
Mikado.
The big ones, yeah.
Yeah, everyone wants to do Pirates. Pirates is great, but it's been a couple years. It's only been a couple years since it was done last. But that's my love. It will always be my love. Nothing like popping out an old textbook with the old pictures in it. Look at the old productions from the 19th century. And they're just a fascinating work because they're the work of a great wit. And very satiric, very sharp, an amazing lyricist. The man could rhyme words you never thought anybody could rhyme.
Real quickly, you also, besides all of these other accomplishments, you taught theater, if you were a teacher.
There's a real connection there, too. Denton Community Theater has a number of theater teachers who work here. Janine Abney,
Mildred
Pivoteau, Karen Gossett. We're kind of a network of not just theater teachers, but very close friends. And it certainly comes up. I've enjoyed working with the children's program because I am a teacher.
Well, Jake has been frantically waving. Mr. John Everts, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Taking out of the busy schedule, I know you're downstairs rehearsing even now.
They can do without me.
All right, folks, thank you. Thanks for listening to DentonRadio.com, where we support local. Our email address, as always, is fourthwallradio@hotmail.com. That's all spelled out. And podcasts can be found both there and on iTunes. Thanks, Jake, and our guest. And say goodnight, Mike.
Good night, Mike. And John Everts, thank you so much for all the years you've given DCT and continue to give. We appreciate you very much.
Well, thank
you. And by
you.
The way, happy late birthday. I believe it was yesterday, wasn't
yesterday.
It?
Yesterday.
Everybody out there, come to the Christmas show.